Orpah and Ruth, and they were left behind, and one daughter-in-law had a chance, and they both of the daughter-in-laws had a chance to stay with their mother-in-law. And we all know how relationships with mothers and daughter-in-laws are. Amen. There's not necessarily the mothers and the son-in-laws, but the mothers and daughter-in-laws, there's always a little something going on there. So she tells them, "Don't follow me." She said, "I don't have anything else to offer you." Did you notice anything? We always say how people always want to blame God when something happens to them. Did you notice that she told them that the hand of God was on her, had been on her? And she's making it sound like, the hand, as people say, God made me sick. God caused this to happen. God caused that to happen. Well, she did the same thing here. She said, "The hand of God is on me. This has happened to me. Please leave me. Just leave me in my misery and go live your lives." She told them, "Go back to the homes and from whence you came. Go back to your towns and cities from whence you came." And it's on verse 13. She says, "Would you tarry for them till they're grown?" She's saying, "What do you want? Do you want me to have?" Well, obviously, this woman was upset. In verse 13, and she says, "What do you want me to do? I can't offer you anything else. My husband's gone, my sons are gone. Do you want me to have more babies? You're gonna wait for them to grow up to marry them too? Just go and enjoy your lives." And she says at the end, she says, there it is, she said, "No, my daughters, for it grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is going out against me." Okay, so she's telling them to go enjoy their lives. Okay, then we know exactly what happened here in this book where Ruth decides that, look at, she's so miserable. Look at verse 20. She says, "And she said unto them, call me not Naomi." Okay, Naomi, if you look up the name Naomi, it means pleasant. This woman has gone from being a pleasant woman to being bitter. We have to be very, very careful that we don't blame God for our bitterness. We don't blame God for the terrible things that happen to us, because the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. God doesn't kill, steal, or destroy. He wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. And so she says, "Call me not Naomi," which is pleasant. She said, "Call me Mara." Now, this woman is so miserable because of all this stuff that happened to her, which we can understand. She changed her own name to Mara, which means bitter. So she's telling them she went from being a pleasant lady to being a bitter woman. "For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." There she goes again, blaming God. How many times do we blame God for things that happen to us? Amen. And then verse 21, she says, "I went out full, and the Lord's brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me?" She's still miserable. The things that we say when we're upset. Amen. How many of us say simple things whenever we're upset? And she says, he brought me home again empty. "Why then you call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Here we go again. The Almighty has done this thing to me. And so verse 22 says, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess." And if you look in the Bible, study the word, you will see that Israel had a hard time with the Moabites. And here, Naomi's daughter-in-law was a Moabite. Shows God is a forgiving God. Her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Okay? So that's why you hear stories about Naomi, about Ruth being out in the harvest, collecting, gleaning from the fields, because it was the time of the barley harvest. And you could also read that again in Zechariah of chapter 4, verse 6. Okay, so what I wanted to say today mainly is the fact that the daughter-in-law that stayed with Naomi, Mara, hence Mara, the daughter-in-law, Ruth, that stayed with Naomi, ends up marrying a very rich man. You've heard the story, amen? You've heard the story. She's out in the fields, and she's gleaning, and Boaz sees her, and he likes her, and he tells his men, "Give her favor. leave some there for her. In other words, he was making it easy for her. Let me see in verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8. And it says, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter, go not to glean in another field, neither go from here, but abide here, fast by my maidens. He's giving her favor. He's telling her, you don't have to go to another field to get anything. It's just like the way God talks to us today. He says, you don't have to go anywhere else to get anything good, to get anything that you need, because I will supply everything that you need. Isn't that just how God speaks to us today? We always want to go to this source, and we want to go to that source, and we think that this source is better. The best source, God should be our one and only source. Amen? And then verse, he says, what is it, verse 9? He says, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? He even told his men, he said, I'm going to send this woman. She's fine. She's beautiful. I like her. Okay, I got my eyes on her. And I'm going to send this woman into our fields. Do not touch her. Do not hurt her. I've given her my favor. So, this also goes to show that God will, when God has his hand on you, he will send you guardians to watch over you. Think of all the times in your lives where you could have been in trouble and something really bad could have happened to you. I can. Can you, anybody here think of anything in your life? I'm sure we can think of a few things. Amen. We are here today by the grace of God. Amen. And it's the same here. We have God's grace the same way she had favor with him. And then he says, and when thou art athirst, when you're thirsty, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. He even gives her water. When she's hungry, she can get free wheat. And when she's thirsty, she can get free water. The water is there for her. They did the work so that she wouldn't go thirsty. Thank you, Jesus. That's God's superabundance. We talked about it last Sunday. God's superabundance. Amen. And he has it there for us. God does not want us to depend on man's system to live. He wants us to depend on his heavenly kingdom, his system. He wants us to depend on him to live. And we also talked about before giving. God wants us to be good givers. He wants us to have an excellent spirit, to learn to give to people. Remember I spoke on Luke 6:38 where it says, give. I think we did this last Sunday. Give and it will be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. When you learn to give, God will give back. Amen? Amen? Everybody with me? All right, now, we know now that Ruth followed Naomi into this beautiful promised land. She's got favor here. You want to know what happened to Orpah? Anybody know what happened to Orpah? Have you heard? I've done study. In the Bible, tells the story, but you got to get real deep into it. Orpah became the mother of Israel's enemy. Orpah went on. Ruth stayed with the good folks, which is what we should do. Stay with one another. Stay with the good people. Orpah went on and ended up having giants called Goliath and his brothers. And yes, Goliath had brothers. A lot of people don't know that. We're so used to hearing a story about David and Goliath, and David had the small, smooth stone, and he slung his sling, and it hit the giant in the head, and the giant fell, and he cut off his head, and Israel, won that battle. Amen? Orpah was his mother. This is what happens whenever we decide to go anywhere else besides on God's side, through God's favor. And this is what happens. It may look like you have children, okay, according to this Ruth over here. Ruth might have children and married this man or whatever, had a wonderful life, and Orpah had children and married whoever she married, and she didn't have such a wonderful life. Orpah left Ruth and Naomi and ended up having their enemy. Orpah is Goliath's mother. Amen. This is what happens when you turn your back on God. You might have a baby. You might have a kid. Whatever your baby is, it could be a project in your life or whatever. No matter what you are attempting to do without the favor of God, it is not going to last. The things of the enemy are only temporal. They only last so long. God's blessings last forever. Amen? And Ruth is in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let's talk about Goliath for a minute. Turn to 1 Samuel. Is everybody with me today? Everybody's so quiet. 1 Samuel. Let me see. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let me try to take a few. Verses 4 and 23. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I didn't mean to be late.
We'll take it late. We don't mind.
Am I late?
We changed the time.
Yeah, we changed the time to 10. Ooh. But we just got started. That's okay. Nancy, can you read verse 4? Let's, can you read 23?
Okay. And a champion began to go out from the camps of the Philistines, his name being Goliath from Gath, his height being 6 cubits and a span.
As they talked, behold, Goliath the champion, the Philistine of Gath, came forth from the Philistine ranks and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him.
Keep reading that.
And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, terrified. Mm. And the Israelites said, have you seen this man who has come out? Surely he has come out to defy Israel. And the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free from taxes and service in Israel.
One more.
And David said to the men standing by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
And one more.
And the men told him, thus shall it be done for the man who kills him.
Amen. Okay? So Goliath stood, it says in verse 4, he stood, his height was 6 cubits and a span. When you look that up, Goliath was actually, you ever see pictures of David and Goliath, and David is this big, and Goliath is this big? Okay? We have to be careful where our imaginations take us. Actually, Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches. And a regular house, the ceiling is like, what, 8 feet? Isn't a regular house, even about 8 feet, right? Now, the old-fashioned houses that they used to build had higher, what we call taller ceilings, or what they used to call them, higher ceilings or something. They may have been about maybe 8 or 9 feet. If ours are 8, yeah, they were high. So this is approximately how high the giant was. So we have to be careful what pictures we look at and where people take our imaginations. See, the imagination can be a very strong thing. Okay, actually, Goliath to David may have been about your height. Okay, his height. Goliath was tall and big. But not, he wasn't like, some people said 20 feet tall or like the size of a building, okay? And if you remember when God sent the prophet Samuel to pick David as the king, the prophet Samuel looked at him from the outside and he says, surely this is not the one that you want to make king. See, he's looking on the outside. He could have possibly ruined all of God's plans by judging from the outside. You don't judge people by the outside, okay? Which one of us are greater to say that somebody else doesn't look right? Nobody. Amen? We are all unique in God's eyesight. And everything, every single thing that God has ordained and anointed you to do is unique to his his heavenly kingdom. You are not supposed to preach like me. You're not supposed to teach like me. I'm not supposed to be like T.D. Jakes. I'm not supposed to be like Joyce Meyer. Your ministries that God has given you, even if you just sit down in a mail room waiting for your mail, telling somebody about Jesus, God gave you that unique aspect to be able to do that. I don't care who you are, where you're from. Amen. As long as you know about Jesus Christ, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now back to his height. He was about 9 feet 9 inches. Now the same way that the prophet Samuel looked at David on the outside, and God told him, he said, don't judge from the outside. David didn't do that. David looked on the outside of the giant, and instead of judging him by his height, he saw him as a man. Who cares about mountains? You know, I truly believe that God wants you to know this today. In fact, I know. God wants you to know this today. Whoever's having a problem, a lot of us do this. We're guilty of this. We have molehills, and we call them mountains. Jesus, what you think is really, really bad in your life? The devil's a liar. Amen? The devil's a liar. With your family, your health, your finances, your relationships, amen? The devil's a liar. You're calling it a mountain, and David called it a molehill. Hallelujah. You can conquer that thing, amen? Just had to interject that, put that in there. He was 9'9". Be careful who you follow. Now, we understand, like I said, Orpah didn't follow and ended up having the enemies of Israel. Turn to 2 Samuel 21:16. Oh, we're almost there. 2 Samuel 21:16. David saw him as a man. And you know what gets me? If you continue to read in 1 Samuel and read about David's family, his brothers were in the war and they were scared to death of this molehill. Scared to death of him. But what kills me is they made fun of David. I believe the message in this is the fact that the ones that look like, get it, look like, the people who look like they can handle a battle are not always the ones that can handle that battle. Are you with me? Amen. The little boy, the cute little curly head boy that they made fun of, and even when he came, when he brought, his father told him to feed them. Here, go feed your brothers because they're hungry because they're in the war. And when he came bringing gifts. He came to feed them, and they're still making fun of him. You know, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. Amen? And they're biting the hand that fed them, and the hand that they made fun of that ended up killing the enemy that they couldn't get rid of. Amen. Jesus, don't judge. 2 Samuel, what did I say, 21:16? And it says, another name. And Ishbibenob, that's what it is, and Ishbibenob, which was the son of the giant, was the son of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. The giant's son thought he killed David. Everybody wants to kill David. Everybody wants to kill you. They want to kill you and get rid of you so bad they're sending their relatives to do it. Oh, Jesus. My. And he thought he killed David. And it says, but Abishai, the son of Zeruah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt no more go out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob, and it goes on to having a battle. And then notice it says, it slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. Not only was there more than one giant, the giant had brothers, and they had kids. The enemy will send their kids after you to hurt you and harm you. Amen? Jesus, look at 2 Samuel 21. 19 and 20. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elihan the son of Jerugim and a Bethlehemite slew the brother of Goliath. See, it's telling you right there that Goliath had brothers. So if anybody says, and I'm talking out the gap of my teeth, you tell them, no, it's in the Bible. Goliath had brothers. And he says the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath. There was a man, where was a man of great stature. See, great stature. And then had on every hand, he had six fingers. And on every foot, he had six toes, 20 and four in number, 24. And he also was born to the giant. So the giants, your giants have giants. Amen? Your problems have problems. Did you ever get to the point where you feel like your problems have problems? Like it's never going to end. Jesus. Amen. Get your smooth stones, I'm telling you today. Get your smooth stones. Amen. Turn to 1 Chronicles, to the right more. Chapter 20, verse 5. There are times where it seems like, my God, you know, the Bible says the Lord knows how much we can take, but Lord, am I there yet? Ever ask that question, Lord, am I there yet? There's a movie called Are We There Yet? You ever have so many things happen to you, you're like, Lord, am I there yet? I can't take anymore. Everybody, 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5. Talking about the giants again. That's why I'm showing you these in case you want to tell somebody else about it or you want to write it down. And 20 verse 5 says, and there was war again with the Philistines. And Elihan the son of Jer slew Lemmi, the brother of Goliath, another brother. See, the Bible's naming the brothers. Isn't that something? There was more than Goliath. Slew Lemmi, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, whose spear staff was like a weaver's beam. There's another brother. And I'll tell you a secret. A lot of people don't know this, but why did David have five smooth stones? There was five giants. People don't know that. You didn't hear that when you heard that little kid's story when you was younger, did you? That's why he had five smooth stones. There was five giants. God will always equip us for whatever we need against the enemy. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to end this. I'm teaching these things to you today so that you will know and go tell other people that there, first of all, your mountains are molehills. Amen? And I want to show you something. This is how, you know, human beings, let me pass these up. As human beings, we could do some of the craziest things. First of all, before I pass these out, I'm gonna pass around this picture to everybody. You just pass it around. Once it gets around, I'll pass these around. I'll pass around the picture first, and I'll give you this answer. Wow. Turn back, while that's going around, turn back the 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 8. I know we're turning, but go back to the left. 1 Samuel. You see that picture?
What is it?
Yeah, I'll tell you a minute. It looks weird, doesn't it? Yeah. Doesn't it make you feel weird when you look at that picture? That's how crazy human beings are. I'll tell you what it is in 1 second. It's made out of gold. Okay, I'll tell you that. Yeah. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 5. Yeah, verse 8. Thank you. Isn't that something? I'll put this in. I don't know if the camera can pick this up or not. I don't know how close to get there, but I want to put this in. Or I'll just add it when I do the video. Okay, this is the picture we're showing. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 8. Everybody there? Take time. If you're not there, just say, not there yet. Hey, hold up. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 8, and it goes on to chapter 6, verse 8, too. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 8. Lex, can you read 8 to 12 and then And Nancy, can you read chapter 6, verse 1 to 8? Yeah, 8 to 12. Lexi will do 8 to 12. Go ahead, ma'am.
So they sent and gathered all the lords of the Philistines to them and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" They answered, "Let it be carried around to Gath." So they carried the ark of the God of Israel there.
Now this is the Philistines, y'all. They stole the ark, okay?
But after they had carried it to Gath, the hand of the Lord was against the city, causing an exceedingly great panic of the deaths from the plague. For he afflicted the people of the city, both small and great, and tumors or boils broke out on them. So they sent the ark of God to Ekron, and as it came, the people of Ekron cried out, "They have brought the ark of the God of Israel to us to slay us and our people." So they sent and assembled all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel. Let it return to its own place, that it may not slay us and our people." For there was a deadly panic throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. The men who had not died were stricken with the very painful tumors or boils, and the cry of the city went up to heaven.
Okay, Nancy will read the next one.
And the ark of Jehovah proved to be in the field of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines proceeded to call the priests and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do with the ark of Jehovah? Let us know with what we should send it away to its place." To this they said, "If you are sending the ark of the God of Israel away, do not send it away without an offering, for you should by all means return to him a guilt offering. Then it is that you will be healed, and it must become known to you why his hand would not turn away from you." At this they said, "What is the guilt offering that we ought to return to him?" Then they said, "According to the number of the axes, lords of the Philistines, 5 golden pals and 5 golden jerboas for every one of you, and your axis lords have the same scourge. And you must make images of your piles and images of your jerboas that are bringing the land to ruin. And you must give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you and your God and your land. Also, why should you make your heart unresponsive, just the way Egypt and Pharaoh made their heart unresponsive? Was it not as he dealt severely with them, that they proceeded to send them away, and they went their way? And now take and make a new wagon and 2 cows that are giving suck, upon which no yoke has come up. And you must hitch the cows to the wagon, and you must make their young ones go back home from following them. And you must take the ark of Jehovah and place it on the wagon, and the golden articles that you must return to him as a guilt offering, you should put into a box at the side of it, and you must send it away, and it must go. And you must look if it is the road to its territory that it goes up to Beth Shemesh, it is he that has done to us this great evil. But if not, we must know that it was not his hand that touched us, an accident it was that happened to us."
Amen. So, what we gather out of the 2 readings is the fact that God smote them is a chastisement for them stealing the ark from Israel. Okay? And the picture that I sent around to you, I think that he has it now. I gave it to you. You see that picture? Now, the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant from Israel. And because they did so, remember the Philistines are the one that had the giants. Amen? Goliath and his brothers, okay? We discussed that. He had brothers. And they had giants, okay, of children. That picture that you're looking at, the Philistines, pardon expression, were so dumb, and they didn't know anything about Israel's God. They just thought that, you know, taking the ark, we would have the power. If we get this ark, we're going to have the power. You cannot steal God's power. power from his people. The enemy cannot steal the power that God gave us, okay? The enemy can't have it. It's ours. We are children of the Most High God. Amen? You can't steal that. So God struck them. If you see in the notes I wrote, emeralds, they're called emeralds. I looked it up, and I don't think it's not in the dictionary, but you got to look online, and you'll find that in the Bible dictionaries that they have online. Emeralds, emeralds, get it? That's where hemorrhoids came from.
Yeah.
I tell you how they, remember I tell you how they play on words sometimes? You just got to, when you're looking up something, you got to just look it up and find out exactly what the word meant. Hemorrhoids. God struck the enemy with hemorrhoids, tumors, raised up, swellings, protuberances, okay? The word is a disease. He struck them with a disease, and it's mentioned 8 times in the King James Bible. God sometimes smote people with this disease. The Hebrew words can apparently include a boil or an ulcer, some kind of inflammation, especially a tumor in the anus or pudenda, the piles or fistula. And if you see, there's other scripture that you can look up that it's in there. Now, pardon my expression, these fools stole the Ark of the Covenant off of God's people, and they thought by making an image of piles, which is what you saw, that's what that was. They made an image of the hemorrhoids that God struck them with and turned it into gold, made it out of gold. So here they are, okay, it even sounds silly, doesn't it? Here they are with these golden pals, they are offering, my God, we have to make sure that we don't offer something that is cursed. We have to make sure that we don't offer something that is diseased unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. Make sure you don't offer. These people are offering something to God that is not blessed. They think that by making images of this nasty, dirty thing, they think that by making images of it, well, let's make it in gold. Yeah, God will accept that. Yeah, he's easy. You know, he's easy to buy off. He'll accept it. He'll take it. We'll make it in gold. Yeah, that'll keep us out of trouble. And if you notice, when we first read, it's called a trespass offering. Back in the days when you did something wrong to somebody, you gave a trespass offering. Amen? That's what they did. They gave golden hemorrhoids back to God.
That's disgusting.
If that would be the moral to the story. Amen. Now, have you ever, I'm going to be honest with you, I've been preaching for years and teach, I've never seen that. That goes to show that the Bible can cover things that we know not of. Amen. I'm going to ask you this, and if you have, don't be afraid to raise your hand and say so. Has anybody ever heard this story about golden hemorrhoids before? You either? And you study a lot. If he hasn't heard it, and she hasn't heard it, and she hasn't heard it, hey, I never, golden hemorrhoids. And make you think. Okay, let's be sure. I don't know how to wrap this up, but I think you are getting the gist of it. I think you're getting the idea of what I'm saying here. Let's be sure that we don't do something wrong, and then, God doesn't strike us. After the New Testament, when Jesus was born, Jesus, we're covered by his blood. Amen? But we are not exempt from the consequences of our actions. Okay? Say it that way. Make sure that whenever you are going through a certain consequence because of certain actions that you do against God, make sure that you don't try to doll it up. Okay? Huh?
Send it back.
And send it back.
That's golden.
Golden hemorrhoids. Amen. I honestly believe this is what God wants us to know today as well. I believe that God is sitting on high looking at us and SMHing, as they say online, which means shaking my head. He's shaking his head. head. S-H-H-ing. Shaking his head. Amen? Some of the things that we offer back, and then we wonder why good things aren't happening to us. We wonder why it might feel like God's hand is no longer on us, because you're insulting his intelligence with the mess that you're giving back to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Are we all in agreement not to give God a mess? And the lady that called me yesterday, I was telling you about, and she prayed us happy. It was a wonderful phone call. And she said something to me that my spirit instantly caught. She said, if you look in the Bible, everywhere in the Bible, God likes gifts. When you, if you notice, before they offered sacrifices to God in the Old Testament, before they approached him. And in the New Testament, we worship God. The Bible says that God dwells in what? The praises of his people. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to put an apple and a candle on a table before you pray to him, okay? That's not what it means. Praise God. Thank God. Don't be ashamed to ask God to forgive you, J-I-C, just in case you did something wrong that week, okay? And I'll end it by saying to you, simple, something simple. Don't give God golden hemorrhoids. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And wouldn't that, and this is exactly what your enemies are doing. Your enemies think they're slick. Your enemies mess with you, and they don't think you know it, and they don't realize that God has given you discernment. You might not be able to see everything that's happening, but you can't put your finger on it, so to speak, okay? But you know a little bit of what's happening there. And they hurt you, and they do things to God's people, and they act like nobody knows what they're doing. Not only do we partially know what they're doing, but God sees it all. Amen? Amen. And believe me, they're trying to do things to get God on their side. This is what the enemy was doing. The enemy thought that they can get, well, if we give him these golden hemorrhoids, we can take Alexei's God and make him on our side. Amen? See, this is, they think they're slick. And God didn't accept it. Oh, when you go home, read the rest. Oh, you'd be surprised what happened. When you go home, read the rest of what happened after God got them golden hemorrhoids. Amen. All right, so anybody want to add anything to that or say anything? I gave you the notes with the scriptures on them, so when you go home, you can go home and study them. Howard, thanks for the test. I'll give it back to you a little bit later. Amen. I got a couple more. What did I do?
The importance of choice is certainly evident also. I mean, that's constant. We have choices every minute of every day.
That's
very true. Ruth and her sister-in-law had.
Who would have known that the sister-in-law that left her, that left Naomi, I keep seeing Ruth for some reason, but Ruth is one of it. But who would have known that Orpah, the one that left Naomi, ended up being the mother of evil giants? Wow. That is against God's people. The mother of the Antichrist spirit. Antichrist means they're against Jesus Christ, right? They don't believe in him. Anybody else want to say anything? What was you saying?
No,
I wish you could hear him. He talks so, I'm trying to, you know how they say teachers try to bring it out? You know, I'm trying to bring it out. Yeah. What was you saying? You said something. So, you know, God is good. I'm glad this came down today, and I'm glad we studied this today. I'm trying not to keep people long so you can go home and enjoy your day. But you heard the word. You learned a little something, something. Amen. Amen. Any readings or anything I wanted to ask before we get out of here? Nothing? All right. Well, Howard, can you pray us out?
Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this day. Thank you for all of us to be here. Thank you for Reverend Essie and her word. Take all of us as we leave here. Bless this building, Lord, and people in it. Amen.
Amen. Thank God. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Amen. Amen. Praise God.